You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Favor Upgrade.
Just as David was mindful to keep his covenant promises to the house of Saul, to the family of Jonathan, God is mindful of his promises to us because of Jesus. Numbers 23:19 reminds us, God's not a man. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man. He's not born of a man that he should have to repent. Hath he said it? Shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it? Shall he not make it good? He says, if God said it, take it to the bank. If God said it, it's settled. You hear what I said? If God said it, it's settled. We have an expression. We say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, if God said it, it's settled. Whether you believe it, that's on you. If he said it, it's settled just because he said it. Because the Bible says, even if we believe not, he abideth faithful. He can't deny himself. He can't change his character. Even if you don't believe, I'm still faithful. If you don't believe, I'm still good. If you don't believe, I'm still a healer. If you don't believe, I'm still the resurrection. If you don't believe, I'm still a way maker. If you don't believe, I am still God. If you don't believe, I'm still El Shaddai. Can't deny myself. The worst thing I've discovered that a father can do is not keep his word to his child. The worst thing, I can't remember. I was trying to remember it as I was getting ready to come in to the sanctuary this morning. But somebody was recently telling me about a story. I can't remember who it was. Somebody told me they were either 11 or 13. And they were waiting for their father. And the father was supposed to come home. I'm going to play marbles or play ball or something with them. But that was the last day they saw their father. He didn't die. He just left. And so he left with them waiting for him. The worst thing I discovered that a father can do is not keep his promise to his child. Okay? Because, I mean, if you tell your child, well, when I get home from work today, we're going to get ice cream. That child is distracted all day in school. Because when I get home, my daddy going to get me some ice. They don't want to hear nothing about you had a hard day at work. You said when we get home, you won't get me some ice cream. Children expect fathers to keep the word. Oh, my God. And the worst thing a father can do is not keep his word. But the God we serve is a good, good father. He won't leave you hanging. He won't leave you disappointed. He won't leave you telling anybody, I was waiting for him. He didn't show up. He said he won't do it. He didn't do it. I will fulfill all my word. Psalms 111 and verse 5, it said, he hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. God remembers what he promised you. Hebrews 8:6, it says that we have obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much more that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. See, people are trying to make you think, well, God promised Israel that. He told him he'll make Israel rich. I read this in these theological commentaries. Well, he said that to Israel and he said that to the descendants of Abraham, but he didn't promise the Gentiles that they would become rich. That's because they don't understand what a Gentile is. A Gentile is somebody outside the covenant. You got to understand, once you get born again, Gentiles in the scriptures don't refer to you. Read Paul's writing. He said you were Gentiles in the flesh. Glory to God. But now you've been engrafted into this family. So when you read about the heathen and the Gentiles, you understand, they ain't talking about me. Okay? That's not talking. When people call you certain names, you got to know they ain't talking about me. Are you hearing me? He said, we have a better covenant. And so, which means whatever God promised the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whatever he promised in the Old Testament, he's going to do that and more for me in the New Testament. Oh, come on now. If he told them he's going to make them richer, he's going to make me richer. Oh, come on. If he said he gonna heal all their diseases, he gonna heal my diseases and my child's diseases. Why? Because I got a better covenant established upon better promises. What made it better? It's established upon the blood of Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? Everybody say, I got better promises. When you know that, then you know that God has made a promise to upgrade his children. Deuteronomy 28 and 12, he told him under the old covenant. He said, the Lord going to open up his good treasure unto you. He's going to open up heaven to give rain unto your land in his season. The Lord is going to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Why can I be debt free? Because the promise is that he wants me on the right side of this debt equation. See, all debt can't just be sin. Just got to be on the right side of that thing. Because if it's a sin to borrow, then it's a sin to lend. God said, I just want you on the right side of this thing. I want you to be the lender rather than the borrower. Because the borrower becomes the servant. Come on. Y'all, am I in the book? I mean, God promised us that. He promised in Deuteronomy 28 and 13, the Lord gonna make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above sometime. Oh, come on. Above only, thou shalt not be beneath. Anything that got you under, the devil is a lie. I'm coming out. I'm not supposed to be under anything. I'm not going to be beneath. I'm not going to be led. I'm not going to be under my circumstances. My circumstances got to be under me because God promised me I'm going to be the head, not the tail. I'm going to be above and I'm not going to be beneath. See, you got to put God in remembrance of his word. He said, if you just hearken to my commandments, and which I commanded this day to observe and to do them. Jesus makes it better. He comes over to Matthew 20 and verse 16. He says, this one I'm telling y'all. He said, I don't care where you are right now. I don't care where you were born. I don't care what town you were from. I don't care what your family did not do, what your family did not have. I don't care what side of tracks you were born in and what side of tracks you lived in and whether you lived in the projects or whether you lived in a trailer park. I'm telling you, Jesus said, that the last shall be first. Hallelujah. That's Matthew 12, 20, 16. The last shall be first and the first gonna be last. Why? Because many are called, but few are chosen. God said, there's some of you I have chosen to be ahead. I've chosen to put you on top. I got my eyes on you. It's just a matter of time that you're not going to be in this position always. You're not going to be down. I got my eyes. I have chosen you to represent me in the earth. I've chosen you as my billboard. I've chosen you to establish my covenant. Somebody shout, I'm chosen. Woo, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, it tells us that for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus became poor. Now, you got to understand something. See, the problem with religious people, the religious folks, when you read these commentaries who don't know how to work the word and make, because see, they think automatically everything is automatic. No, the will of God is not automatic. You got to work this thing. You got to confess it. You got to fight it. You got to war with these promises. God promised me I'm supposed to be rich. Now watch it. You do nothing and you just going to be rich. Ask folks who are doing nothing. They ain't rich. The Bible says he becometh poor that deal with a slack hand. In other words, God said, if you're not doing anything, you're going to be poor. And then some of you, you're working hard and you still stay poor because you don't have wisdom in managing your finances. I was sharing with Pastor Marshall this week. We were talking about some situations going on in our families. I said, honey, I said, we can't just keep giving to that. I said, they got choices just like we got choices. You're not going to be able to give somebody out of poverty. You're not going to be able to give to somebody and they get out of poverty. Okay? You can raise somebody up, give them a nice house, give them first month's utilities, all that. I don't care. If they don't do something, that house going to look just like it's poor. Because you got to change your mindset. Come on. Now what you raise up here, you got to ask on a different level. You got to manage things on a different level. He became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. And so religious people, they don't have any problems. They'll tell you Jesus was poor. Jesus was poor. He didn't have a place to lay his head. They don't even understand scripture. It's hard for a poor man in heaven. You know, Jesus was poor. He didn't have nothing. Birds had nests. Foxes had holes. Son of man had nowhere to lay his head. Okay? Not even understanding the scripture. Jesus was talking about in this town tonight. He said, I don't know where I'm going to stay tonight. Are you sure you want to live this life? Are you about this life? That's what he was saying to the man. Told him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. He said, will you? Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. Some man know where they're headed. I don't know where I'm going to stay. I live by faith. That's what Jesus said. I live by faith. Are you ready for this life? You better go get that check. That's what Jesus said. You better go get the check. Because see, the way I live, I don't know where the check coming from. But I believe. Give me this day my daily bread. If you ain't ready about this life, go get the check. That's why Peter, when Peter lost faith, Peter said, I'm going back fishing. I can get me a check. I know I can do this faith stuff. And that's what Jesus was telling. And so they have no problem saying Jesus was poor, but they got a problem with this rich part. If poor mean poor, then rich mean rich. So they say, oh, Jesus was poor, but teach the other part. But he became poor that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He became poor to get victory over poverty, to get victory over hell, to get victory over the grave, to get victory over low living. So now once you're in him, he raises you up to another level of life. Thirdly, Mephibosheth got upgraded to live in the king's house, eat at the king's table because of family lineage. Everybody say family lineage. He said, is there anybody from the house of Saul? Anybody from Saul's family? There was nothing special or very attractive about Mephibosheth except to Mrs. Mephibosheth, whoever she was. Most people looked over him. He had low self-esteem. We know he had low self-esteem. Why? Because when David called him, he said, You a dead dog like me? You invite me to the king? You invite me to the White House? You invite me to the king's palace? He didn't call himself dead. He didn't just call himself a dog. He called himself a dead dog. I mean, it's kind of like the children of Israel in Numbers 11 when God told them to go over to the promised land and let's go take it at once. And they said, we are grasshoppers in our sight and their sight. That's low self-esteem. I don't care what people say about you. Don't say it about yourself. I don't care what they call you. Don't call each other that. Ladies, I don't know how you can be with a man who refers to you as a bee. That should be the first and last date, first and last talk. I don't know how you with somebody who call you a bee. See, you got low self-esteem to let somebody talk to you like that. African-Americans, I was sharing again with that chief the other day. I said, we were talking about, he didn't know which one to say, African-American, black. I said, well, it depends which one. It depends on the generation. My grandmother went to be with the Lord about 7 years ago. She was 92, 93. She couldn't stand the term black. She never evolved beyond colored. I ain't black, I'm colored. I'm colored. I said, Nana, what color are you? Red, green, blue, polka dot. I'm colored. Don't call me black. We from colored to Negroes. Negroes to African Americans. From Negroes to black, from black to African Americans. Okay? Now, how y'all let everybody call you that other term? Y'all call everybody that? I don't understand. You got low self-esteem. I don't hear all that stuff about we've taken back the word. No, you've taken the word. Y'all mad at me now. Dead dog like me. How can you invite a dead dog like me? There was nothing special or attractive about Mephibosheth. He felt he was unworthy dead dog. Mephibosheth was no longer conscious that he had blue blood running in him. He was no longer conscious that he was the grandson of the first king of Israel. He had so identified with his current circumstances that he forgot his history. Y'all are listening to me. He has so identified with the plight of things today that he forgot the family that he was originally born into. So God reminds us in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar or special people that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Look what he says in verse 10. That's why I said he's not talking about you, he's talking about the Gentiles, because which in time past you were not a people. I'm in 1 Peter 2nd chapter verse 10 now. In time past you were not a people. You were nobody. So don't go and tell them, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. If you want nobody, sit down. Ain't nobody trying to listen to nobody. The Bible said we are ambassadors for Christ. As if we in Christ said, instead of representing God, saying, be reconciled to God. I represent the kingdom of heaven. He said, you're peculiar people. You've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. You were not a people, but now you are a people. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Mephibosheth just happened to be born into the right family. I feel something right here. He just happened to be born into the right family. David did not know anything about Mephibosheth. He just knew his family. David didn't know anything about what he had, what he didn't have. He just knew of his family. Is there anybody of the house of Saul I can bless? Mephibosheth just happened to be born into the right family, the right house, a descendant of men to whom promises had been made. So because of being in the right family, the descendant of someone to whom promises have been made, it qualified him for an upgrade because he was a son of Jonathan. Now, catch this, y'all. Sons get upgrades. Sons get upgrades. Pastor Tanner, my son is up here sitting on the front row. You say, well, yeah, but he's a youth pastor. That's why he's on the front row. No, before he was a youth pastor, he sat on the front row because he's my son. When Daniel comes, he don't have a title. He in the church. He sits on the front because he's my son. And then got all these pretty ladies sitting by them. I got to go way back. 15 years ago, I didn't know some of them. 10 years ago, I didn't know them. 5 years ago, didn't know them about when I was just getting to know you. About 5 years ago. But now, once they marry my child, they come up to the front. Just because they're in the family. Now, some of y'all may feel, why they got to come to the front? Why they sitting on the front row? Because that's my family. Sons get upgrades. Sons' families get upgrades. Preach, heard. 1 John 3 and 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, God's not finished blessing us yet. We're the sons of God, and God's still molding us. God's still shaping us. God's still blessing us. God still increase. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm a son of God. As long as I'm a son of God, I'm always upgrading. You better take a picture, because the me you see today, you will see no more again forever. Everything getting better in my life because I'm a son. Somebody shout, I'm a son of God. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But one thing we know is that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God's not finished blessing me yet. Noah, come on into the ark. Bring your wife. Bring your sons. And bring their wives. Why? Because they're all in your family, Noah. Noah found grace. His family got grace because sons get upgrades. Stick with that point there. Galatians 4, chapter 4 through 7. I'm just about done here. When the fullness of time was come. Galatians 4. Starting verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, or born during the dispensation of the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus came to bring you into the family so you can get an upgrade now. Are y'all hearing me here? Pastor Marcia, for a long time, because I flew more than her, I had status with the airline, and she didn't have any status. I said, you don't have to worry about no status, because whenever you're with me, you got status. So don't have to worry about it. She said, but I may have to fly without you. I said, you don't need to be going nowhere without me. But long as she was with me, if I got the upgrade, she got the upgrade with me. If she's with me, when I go into the airline lounge, she can go with me. You got to upgrade because you with Jesus. He with you. Look, somebody say, I'm with Jesus. I'm with Jesus. He came to redeem that under the Lord that we might receive the adoption of Christ. Watch this. Look at this. Verse 6. I want to see this. And because we are sons. Because we are sons. Certain things are going to happen because we are sons. I get upgrade because I'm a son. Now, y'all know the sons implies the daughters too, okay? Because we are sons. Because we're daughters. Because we're children of God. Because certain things just happen because I'm a son. You don't have to like it. I'm a son.
Are you ready for an upgrade? God can maximize your life with just a small dose of favor. Dr. Herbert Bailey prepares you for a favor upgrade in this powerful series. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for Favor Upgrade. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.